When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal, whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise. Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
This is an iHeart Original.
This story can be hard to hear. There's detailed talk of suicide and violence, but we think it's important not to gloss over the reality of what happened to Libby Caswell. Please take care while listening. I'm holding in my hands a green spiral notebook that Libby used to document the last few months of her life. I got it from her mom, Cindy, who found it in the trunk of Libby's car after her death. Thumbing through the notebook, a lot of the pages are filled with basic adulting stuff, detailed grocery lists, appointment reminders. Libby was due for an oil change, and from what I can make of her notes, she either was planning to or had already gone to a clinic to get the depot shot, a form of birth control. Cindy told me Christmas was Libby's favorite holiday, and in the notebook, it's obvious. Her shopping list for Xavier, who was 4, spread out over a number of pages. On one page, a toy car, Air Jordans, a swing set. On another, fidget toys, chocolate peeps, Superman pajamas. Libby decorated these lists with sketches of Christmas trees surrounded by presents and snowmen. It's unclear if she ever bought any of these gifts. She died on December 11, 2017. Paging through Libby's notebook, I stumbled on a date written out in cursive, March 19th. I realized I'd seen it a few times before on Libby's Facebook page, shortened to 3/19. When I asked Cindy about this, she told me it was the anniversary of Libby's first date with her boyfriend, Devin.
They went with his family, and they had a really nice blue minivan. First, they went to eat, and then they went and seen a movie, and I don't remember the movie.
I think we went to see Where the Wild Things Are.
That's Jamie, Devin's stepmom.
We were howling like the Wild Things do at the end of the movie in the theater, and I remember Devin being so embarrassed. I remember him telling me and Charlie that that's who he was going to marry at 14 years old, and we were like, you know, you're so young and da-da-da, you have so much to go through, and, you know, then it all started.
That first date, Libby and Devin were only freshmen in high school. For the next 6 years, the number 319 took on an almost sacred significance to Libby, who scrawled it everywhere like an incantation.
She would do doodles, you know, of 319.11. Devin and Libby. Devin loves Libby. Libby loves Devin.
There's a firelight through your window. So why does she mind?
She was totally infatuated, however you want to say it. Totally wrapped up in it.
The number 319 has an entirely different connotation to Cindy now. One very far removed from those early idyllic feelings of obsession and puppy love. Because now, that number is inextricably linked with the room where police found Libby's body. The room at the Sports Stadium Inn.
I didn't know anything about the room until we received our first reports. And then when I saw that, that's when I was like, oh my God, it was room 319. Maybe Devin rented that room. They specifically asked for that room because of something. Maybe it was random and they just got that room. You know, I wanted to know.
Watching the water on the rise, while I sing tonight.
From iHeart Podcasts, I'm Melissa Jeltzen. And this is what happened to Libby Caswell.
His first inclination was it was homicide.
He was crying and upset, and I was like, man, what happened?
They asked me my name, and it was I, Cindy Caswell.
And it took him a minute to get it out of me, and he said my wife hung herself.
And my heart just kind of froze.
Watching the water on the rise, sinking again tonight.
Chapter 2, Undetermined.
Devin, I'm Detective Shrevely, Police Department. You got your cell phone on you?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you let the detectives have it?
Okay.
We'll get started.
On the evening of December 11th, 2017, 3 hours after calling 911 to report Libby's death and then leaving the scene, Devin Martin arrives at the Independence Police Department in Libby's car. When he enters the station, he's taken into a small drab room to make a formal statement. Although he comes in voluntarily, he's immediately arrested on a handful of outstanding traffic tickets and read his rights.
You have right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against a court of law. You have a right to talk to an attorney before you question you and have him or her present.
I obtained a video of Devin's interview with IPD through a Freedom of Information Act request. The original tape is around 55 minutes long, but for length and clarity purposes, I'm using just parts of it and playing some of it out of order. In the grainy footage, Devin looks upset. He's sweating, jittery, and doesn't seem to know what to do with his hands. He thrusts them into the front pocket of his hoodie. He rubs his face.
Let's start from the beginning, okay? Like I said, I want you to be detailed. I want you to be honest, okay? Because, I mean, this is a death investigation. So take death investigations very seriously, okay? And what I need out of you is need honesty.
Detective Steve Schmidley had been at the motel earlier in the night investigating the scene when Devin called 911 for the second time to say he'd talked to police. So Schmidley headed back to the station to interview him. And here he refers to Libby by her full name, Elizabeth Caswell.
Who's Elizabeth Caswell to you?
That's my son's mother.
Your son's mother?
Yeah. We were actually planning to get married in March.
Devin's voice is soft, like he's on the verge of tears. It's a little hard to understand what he's saying. But he tells the detective he and Libby have a child together, and they were going to get married in 3 months' time.
When you guys get, when you check into this motel?
Okay, so we set up at 6:30.
When?
Devin tells Detective Schmidley that he arrived at the sports stadium in early that morning. He was with Libby and another friend of theirs, Nick, and they were driving in Libby's car, a black Ford Fusion. Some of this, like what time they checked in, police already know from accessing motel records. But establishing a timeline of events that day is critical, as police aren't sure exactly when Libby died. There is an almost 14-hour period of time between when the three friends arrived at the motel that morning and when Devin called 911 that evening that is unknown to police.
You get there this morning. What do you guys do most of the day?
Okay, so my friend Nick hung out with us until about maybe 9 o'clock in the morning, 8:30, and then they left. And I took a shower, and I get out of the shower, and she said she was going to take a shower, and I remember, because we had been up all night the night before, and I remember laying on the bed and passing out, and I fell asleep. And I probably woke up, and it was probably around 8:30, I think.
Roughly what time do you think you fell asleep on the bed?
I would say between 10 and 11 o'clock.
10 a.m. and 11 a.m. this morning? And then at that point, you remained asleep the entire time until you woke up this evening?
Yes, sir.
Devin says he was asleep for more than 8 hours. And when he woke up, he noticed Libby wasn't around.
And I remember looking, and she wasn't in the room, so I went to check the bathroom, and my belt, the top of it, I could see my belt sticking out of the top of the door. And when I opened the door, she fell forward. And when I picked her up, and her skin was so pale, and her lips were blue. I'm sorry, man.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
I understand.
Oh, I can't believe this going. This is real.
Devin gets emotional here. He's just told Schmidley that he woke up, looked around for Libby, and saw his belt peeking out from the top of the closed bathroom door. When he opened the door, Libby's body fell to the ground. The detective leans back, taking it all in, then starts to recap. But Devin interrupts to tell him about something else that happened right before he went to sleep.
You got in the shower and you went to bed, and
we had an
you
argument
said this,
about my drug use. That's what we argued about.
That was this morning before you went to bed?
Yeah, right after I got out of the shower.
This is information that IPD had already gathered. One of the cops spoke to a guest staying in the room next door who heard a loud argument between a man and a woman. According to Devin, their fight was over his continued use of methamphetamine. Drugs were a constant source of tension between the couple. Schmidley doesn't seem very surprised to learn about Devin's drug use, and it's likely this was a pretty familiar story to him. Independence, Missouri has a long history with meth, which I'll get into later, and the Sports Stadium Inn, it's not a particularly nice place to stay. In the year leading up to Libby's death, IPD had been called there more than 150 times for theft, assault, and incidents involving drugs. Schmidley himself had responded on a handful of occasions. The detective doesn't linger on Devin's drug use. But before he can get to his next question, Devin pivots again and offers some more unprompted information about Libby and her mental state.
I didn't think she would ever do it, you know? She was talking about killing herself the day before, but it was like, she bullshits a lot of times when she says that, you know, I don't...
So she talked about killing herself the day before?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Why?
Just because our situation, she was fed up with... we had lost custody of our son, actually. The Pitt State has custody of him, but he resides with her mother. And we were going to get everything straight.
The custody situation with their son was complicated, and I'll get to it later. But the picture Devin paints of Libby is of a depressed mother, forcibly separated from her son and frustrated by her boyfriend's drug problem. Devin's story provides a reason why Libby might have taken her own life. Then he offers up his own theory for how she did it. Remember, Devin never says he actually saw Libby hanging because the bathroom door was closed. But he tells the detective that he thinks his belt was too long to have kept her feet off the ground.
I'm really trying to understand it all because there's no way she could have hung herself from the door, you know? Like, how could she have hung there? If my belt's long, how could her feet have not been on the ground?
It's an odd fact. I've puzzled over it too. But Devin had an answer for Detective Schmidley.
So I've been sitting trying to think, like, how could it have happened? I'm thinking maybe she put it in the door and, choked until she passed out, because when I opened the door, she fell forward.
Devin later tells the detective this is something he'd seen Libby do before, put a belt around her neck and pretend like she was strangling herself.
I mean, when we were younger and stuff, she would act like, you know, we'd be in an argument or something. She would act like she's choking herself with a belt, actually.
Detective Schmidley asked Devin what he did after he found Libby's body.
I grabbed her. I didn't notice the belt was around her neck until after I pulled her toward me. And she was so stiff. Her body was so stiff. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
So, our poor baby. Her mom. Oh, man.
So what'd you do at that point? They freaked out.
I assumed she was dead. I tried to undo the belt a little bit where I could feel a pulse or something, and I think I was just shaking too much. I couldn't feel a pulse, and so I called 911. I went into shock, and I got in the car and I went to my dad's.
Devin's explanation: he was in shock, so he drove to his dad's. It might sound bizarre, but in my experience as a journalist covering traumatic events, people can act in all kinds of unexpected ways. You don't really know how you'll respond to a tragedy until it happens to you. You may think you'll be calm, act rationally, but when was the last time you found a dead body? Schmidley, in any case, seems to listen to this story without much judgment. He doesn't question Devin's decision to run or express much curiosity about where he went. He notes it and moves on. But there's another detective in the room who up until now has just been listening. And he's more skeptical.
Do you see how this looks suspicious, Devin? Just by you leaving?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, you know?
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of four nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim-up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
By this point in the interview, Devin has been sitting inside a small interrogation room for about 40 minutes. This is what IPD has learned so far. Devin and Libby and another friend, Nick, checked into the Sports Stadium Inn early that morning. After Nick left, Devin and Libby fought about his drug use. Devin went to sleep sometime that morning, and Libby headed into the shower. Devin woke up around 8 p.m., walked over to the bathroom, and saw the end of his belt sticking out over the top of the door. He opened the door, and Libby's body fell to the ground inside the bathroom. He touched her body to see if she was alive, and then panicking, he called 911 and then drove away. Detective Schmidley's tone throughout the interview is relaxed and understanding, almost conciliatory. If he has any real issues or concerns with Devin's version of events, he doesn't say anything. But as the conversation proceeds, the other detective jumps in, prods Devin a little harder. Classic good cop, bad cop.
Do you see how this looks suspicious, Devin? Just by you leaving?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, you know?
Because
I don't want you...
We've investigated a lot of investigations.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, Detective Schmidley and I, you know, we have a lot of experience, and some are very obvious.
Absolutely.
Suicidal, you know, suicide deaths, and some are not so obvious, you
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. And I'm guaranteed, I promise you, I would not ever do anything to harm her physically.
Okay.
I would prevent her from being harmed physically with
Now there's going to be an autopsy. Mm-hmm. Know that they can determine.
Absolutely, and I would love to get the results.
What do you think that autopsy report's going to indicate?
That she had strangled herself.
You see how it's kind of suspicious, though, a little bit, because we have witnesses say that you were arguing with her that day.
And like I said, we had gotten to an argument that morning.
Okay.
I would not do nothing to hurt my... That's my wife.
I understand.
I'm not trying to say you're accusing me. I'm trying to express that to you.
And I understand, but I just want you to know that it's just a little suspicious of how you reacted, which, you know, most people would stick around.
Look, to be honest with you, I've never had a good encounter with the police.
Yeah.
Devin is 21 at the time of this interview, and he's no stranger to IPD. By my count, he had been arrested around 10 times before for various nonviolent offenses.
You got to understand that we have a job to do, and it's not personal.
Oh, I know.
But when we have several different factors involving this investigation, which are suspicious in nature, which, you know, I mean, I understand your drug usage and everything, but the whole argument thing, and then just the way that she was positioned and so on and so forth.
That's because I picked her up off.
Okay, and that's why you're here, to explain some of those things that we feel that are suspicious
absolutely.
In nature. Okay.
Absolutely. Our fights are loud. Mm-hmm. We yell at each other.
Well, obviously, because people heard you.
The second detective pushes Devin about a claim he made earlier in the interview, that Libby choked herself in the past. Something about this story seems off to him, like maybe it's a little too convenient. So he circles back to it.
But she's tried to choke herself out with a belt before.
Yeah, and I've had to literally pull her hands off and get the belt out from around her neck. And that is the honest truth.
I mean, do you see, and I've investigated a lot of deaths,
yes, sir.
But I've never seen anybody be able to choke themselves out and kill themselves.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you just see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you're going to pass out.
Yes, sir.
First.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Honestly, I was asleep. I don't know exactly how it happened.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question, Devin.
Sir.
Okay. There's no doubt in my mind that you love her to death. There's no doubt in my mind that you guys, you know, were grade school, middle school to high school sweethearts. Okay. But to put this to rest a little bit, did something bad happen that things got out of control?
No, sir.
You're positive?
I promise you. Okay. I'll put my hand on the Bible, and I'll put it on everything I love, on my children, on my son's life. I would not ever do nothing like that. Never.
Okay.
Never would I hurt her like that. I hope you guys do believe me. And if you don't, everything forensics figures out will prove that I wouldn't have called y'all, and I would have just left and burned, you know, or do something. I wouldn't have done that, is what the truth is.
Beyond denying any involvement in Libby's death, Devin is adamant that he'd never hurt her before.
I take pride in the fact that I've never put my hands on a woman unless it's to stop her from hurting me.
Yeah.
And that's like hold her down, restrain her, and just calm down.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I've ever done.
And she's a pretty tiny girl.
As the second detective said to Devin, some suicides are straightforward, some are not. In Libby's case, there were a lot of suspicious facts at play, but Devin seems to have explanations for all of them. The weird position of Libby's body was because he held her and tried to loosen the belt. He left the scene because he was scared of the cops and had been using drugs. And yes, they had an argument, but that's just how their relationship was, volatile. The interview wraps up just after midnight, and around the same time, IPD clears the crime scene at the Sports Stadium Inn. But before they do so, they check to see if there's any evidence to corroborate Devin's story that Libby hanged herself with a belt over the bathroom door. And they find something, a mark on the top of the door. The crime scene tech notes that it appears fresh and seems to be about the width of Devin's belt. Smidley has one more person he wants to speak with. Devin's friend Nick, the other person inside the motel room that morning, and possibly the last person, besides Devin, to see Libby alive. At the detective's request, Nick comes down to the police station, and they talk for a few minutes.
It was just you and Devin and Elizabeth then. Okay. Any issues?
No, I mean, she was, like, very, like... what's the word for that? Distressed about herself. She was just, like, very depressed.
Stressed and depressed?
Yeah, she was talking about committing suicide, and I was like, no, you don't...
When did she talk about committing suicide?
This morning. And I told her, I was like, you don't want to do that. I talked to her about her kid.
Nick corroborates most of Devin's story and adds something new. He tells Detective Schmidley that Devin called him after finding Libby's body. Nick then returned to the motel, and the two drove together in Libby's car to Devin's dad's house. Schmidley wraps up the interview and sends him on his way. In his reports from that night, the detective summarizes his interviews with both Devin and Nick and writes, quote, "Investigation to continue." But I have the case file on Libby's death, and after Schmidley's interviews with Devin and Nick and the discovery of the mark on the bathroom door, the file essentially trails off. There's very little to suggest this initial investigation goes any further. This was kind of surprising to me, because when police first arrive at the Sports Stadium Inn, it's clear they're treating it as a homicide. There are at least a dozen officers at the scene. Detectives, patrol cops, a crime scene tech, plus various personnel from the medical examiner's office. But then sometime during the night, there's a shift, and the focus of the investigation turns from homicide to suicide. By the time Cindy is notified about Libby's death, the IPD seems to have made up their minds.
The only question they asked the night they knocked on our door to tell us our daughter was found in a motel bathroom, was she suicidal?
The case isn't officially closed that night, though. IPD has to wait for the medical examiner to make his own determination on how Libby died. As one of the detectives told Devin, there's gonna be an autopsy, and that should give everyone more answers, right?
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com. Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
They were going to set aside a room for us to come and be with her and say our goodbyes, and we could stay as long as we wanted.
A few days after Libby's death, Cindy and her family were given the opportunity to see Libby's body in private at the funeral home. They planned to do a cremation and service for Libby, but wanted a moment alone with her first. Years later, Cindy's grief is still so raw, it's hard for her to speak.
And she just looked so beautiful, you know, they had done her makeup and combed her hair, and she wasn't, you know, dressed in anything fancy. It was just, you know, she was wrapped in a blanket up under her arms, and her arms were folded, and her head was like it was on a pillow. I talked to her and I told her I was sorry that I couldn't protect her and loved her. And then we just kind of stayed in there for a little longer, and I had noticed that she had some scratches on her forearm. Really deep scratches. And I noticed her fingernails were broken off. She had a bruise on her nose.
Cindy told me that Libby always liked to have her nails nicely done. She was wearing light orange acrylics at the time of her death. But at the funeral home, Libby's hands looked raggedy. There was a cut on one finger, and two of her acrylics were broken off roughly.
I got my phone out and I took a picture of the scratches on her arm and her fingernails.
Why did you decide to document it yourself?
I didn't know if, you know, if they had documented that stuff, so I just decided I would.
Seeing Libby's body in that state unsettled Cindy, and so later, when she got home, she decided she would look through Libby's car to see what she could find. Devin and Nick had been the last ones to drive Libby's car after her body was discovered. They later returned it to police, and Cindy got the car back the following day. It had been sitting in her driveway ever since. From the outside, the car was newly dented, the windshield cracked, the dashboard loose.
She was so proud of that car. I was just devastated that her car was in the condition it was. because she took such good care of her car. It was always clean and smelled nice. And so it was all very just kind of shocking, kind of devastation. You know, I just felt so heavy. I thought, how did this come to this?
Cindy had been too distraught to look inside the car until now. And what she found surprised her. In the crevice of the seat, an orange acrylic fingernail. She stared at it for a moment, thinking about Libby, her body, the police investigation.
I thought, well, they must have missed this fingernail, you know, or I had no idea why that would be there. And I was naive. It wasn't until much later, and I thought, why would they not search the car?
Cindy told me she was under the impression that the investigation into Libby's death was ongoing. 2 months went by while she waited for an update from the IPD.
We tried to call several times to speak with someone. We never got a hold of anybody, and we would just leave voicemails. We just didn't understand why they just wouldn't talk to us.
On February 20th, 2018, Cindy received her first big piece of news in the case. Not from one of the detectives she'd been trying to reach at IPD, but in a letter from the funeral home. Inside was Libby's death certificate. The autopsy was complete. The police received the autopsy report around the same time Cindy got the death certificate. Here's Major Anka, one of the officers who worked on Libby's case.
We had gotten the report back from the medical examiner. I can remember I was sitting in my office and Smedley came in and he was beside himself and said the medical examiner ruled Libby's death undetermined. I go, what do you mean they ruled it undetermined? He goes, yeah, they ruled it undetermined. That was something that really caught us off guard, because when we get all of our medical examiner reports, they come back suicide, homicide, natural causes. I mean, this was the first undetermined that most of us had seen.
When we received the death certificate and read undetermined, it was like, you know, affirmation for me. I can't say relief, you know, because there's no relief in that. But in that feeling of, okay, we know she didn't do that, but now there's this horrible reality, you know, that the person she trusted to protect her, you know, potentially did it to her.
Cindy was suspicious of Devin, and rumors were circulating in Independence that there was more to the story than he was letting on. Devin had been released the morning after he was interviewed by police. And as we heard earlier this episode, he had been hoping the autopsy report would clear his name.
What do you think that autopsy report's going to indicate?
It strangled herself.
But the autopsy report didn't clear Devin. Undetermined didn't rule out homicide. But it didn't rule out suicide either. It just meant the medical examiner couldn't really figure out how Libby died. It meant that the Independence Police Department should be looking at other evidence to figure out what happened to Libby.
I was confident that they would launch a full investigation at that point.
Specifically, she thought they would focus on Devin.
I hope they would be looking at his story and corroborating what his story was.
But that's not what happened. Instead, the IPD told Cindy the case was closed, despite the medical examiner's ruling.
In my mind, I go, well, I'm thinking, isn't this backwards? Isn't the ME who decides if he doesn't sign suicide, don't the police do an investigation, you know? And that was my first time that I thought, something's not right here.
After the interview with Devin Martin, the night of Libby's death, IPD did very little to corroborate Devin's story that Libby was suicidal, beyond talking to his friend Nick.
No, I mean, she was like very like distressed about herself. She was just like very depressed.
and on Devin's other claim that he'd never laid a hand on Libby.
Man, I promise you I would not ever do anything to harm her physically. I would prevent her from being harmed physically with my daughter's gonna be
enough. IPD made no attempt to interview those who knew Libby and Devin best, who could speak to the intimate details of their relationship, which maybe would not have been that unusual in another case with different circumstances, except for the fact that inside the IPD's own files were records of over a dozen 911 calls involving the couple.
They had so much information about domestic violence between the two of them. They had it in their hands. They knew that.
So when I opened up the door, I seen Devin was on top of Libby and he was choking her. And I got upset. I went out to the Independence Police Department where it occurred, and I just told them what I had witnessed.
That's next time on What Happened to Libby Caswell. What Happened to Libby Caswell is written, reported, and hosted by me, Melissa Jeltson, with writing and story editing by Marissa Brown and Lauren Hansen. Episodes are edited by Jeremy Thal and Carl Cadle. Our executive producer is Ryan Murdoch. For iHeart Podcasts, executive producers are Jason English and Katrina Norvell, with our supervising producer, Carl Cadle. Fact-checking by Maya Shukri. Our theme song is written by Aaron Kaufman and performed by Aaron Kaufman and Elizabeth Wolf. Original music by Aaron Kaufman with additional music by Jeremy Thal. Our episodes are mixed and mastered by Carl Cadle. To find out more about my investigation or to send a tip, please email me at whathappenedtolibby@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you.
Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.